WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An avalanche advisory is in effect in parts of Colorado and avalanche warnings from Montana to Washington State. Pope Francis still battling pneumonia at a Rome hospital, and what the Vatican calls mild kidney complications that are being treated. At the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi, Julio Jimenez says that he had traveled with a group of pilgrims to Assisi.
There's over 20 of us, so every morning we are praying for Pope Francis's health to be restored.
Monday marks 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. President Trump pressuring Ukraine to sign a deal to give half of its mineral mining, oil and gas profits to the U.S., but in return, it gets no security guarantees. Germany's far-right party has made a surprisingly strong second-place showing in the German elections. Germany's conservative party has come out on top. It is pro-NATO and pro-Ukraine and opposed to President Trump's overtures to Russia. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. More odd yet not surprising news from the Kanye West camp. The New York Post reports that those close to Kanye say he is inhaling nitrous oxide, or laughing gas. Love that stuff. The Post reports that the drug was a major issue between West and recently estranged wife Bianca Censori. According to the Post, West reps are blaming his dentist, Thomas Connolly, for getting him hooked on nitrous again because it messes up his memory, adding that Connolly wants to steal millions of dollars from the rapper. How much cash does Kanye carry on him when he goes to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. One of the most famous scenes from the film Taxi Driver was Robert De Niro's character, Travis Bickle, asking that very question. De Niro recently appeared on Live with Mark and Kelly and said the whole scene was improvised. Bobby D was nominated for an Oscar for the role. Plans for a sequel to Taxi Driver were ultimately scrapped in 2013 because Martin Scorsese was unhappy with the script. Apparently, there were not enough ad-libs in the world to save it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers hope to bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers had a five-game winning streak snapped when they lost to Oregon 77-73 in overtime over the weekend. Next, they host the Washington Huskies, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. How do they regroup? Head coach Greg Gard.
Well, you got to turn the page. I mean, we would come back, prep for Washington, rebound and bounce back. And fortunately, this isn't like football where you have to sit 7 days, wait for your next game. We're going to play again on Tuesday night, improve the areas that we need to improve.
NBA, the Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers losing 6-1 to the Rockies in Cactus League action. Pat Murphy on what he wants to see this spring training.
I love seeing young players hungry and want to play in the big leagues and never have. I told two or three of them today, have you ever played in the big leagues? They said no. I said, well, you're going to play in the big leagues this year. So call your mom and dad and let them know you're going to play in the big leagues this year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshauer joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, the U.S. Supreme Court prevents Trump from firing the head of a watchdog agency. Also, are we headed to a market correction? Plus, who are the leaders standing up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs near 50 degrees. Cloudy tonight, 30. Mostly sunny and highs in the mid-40s on Tuesday. Tuesday night, we'll see some rain with lows around 33. For Wednesday, chance of rain, then mostly cloudy and a high near 45.
Right now, it's 41.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, That was a lot better than the original person.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know. Now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
Monday, we kick off at 2 p.m. with a discussion of Maggie's metrics. What makes local officials and elected judges good, bad, or just downright ugly? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Crazy turnaround in Wisconsin's weather, don't you think? Hello, everybody. It's a Monday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad to give you an up-to-date look at what's coming our way weather-wise. Pretty decent, I'd have to say. Sunshine on the way. The part that's odd are the temperatures this week compared to last week. Today, we could see high temperatures mid to upper 40s. A little bit of a breeze out of the west. Tomorrow, sunshine again, mid-40s. And Wednesday, that's when we've got a pretty good chance of rain in the forecast, but the sunshine stays around. Stumacher, Ag meteorologist, of course, has weather details on the way. You know, this weather makes it a whole lot easier to think about moving dairy products. We're focused in this morning on the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th at the Rush Expo Center in Green Bay. Now, this is something Wisconsin proudly hosts and has been hosting since 1981. We're going to visit with one of the logistics experts that's making sure more than 2,414 cheese, butter, cultured products, and dry whey ingredients make it from a controlled warehouse in Little Chute up to Green Bay. The logistics alone will impress you. Stand by for all that and more on a Monday. Now, let's travel to the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Catch up with Jill Welke. She's got a special guest today, a Wisconsin native that's now carrying a pretty big title. Jill?
And it's always interesting to hear stories of, we'll call them kind of the local boys and those Wisconsinites that go beyond Wisconsin and do, oh, so much more. And I've got Eric Hansodia. He is the chairman, president, and CEO of AgCo Corporation. And I do some stories about AgCo here and there and learn about their products. And I think the last one I did was on their planters. Always good to find out about that technology and learn a little bit more. But we're going to dive right into a little bit of your background. Did you start in FFA?
Yes, I was actually in FFA. I was the president of our local chapter. I was in 4-H as well. I grew up in Marshfield, Wisconsin, just outside, and went to Marshfield High School. And, you know, that's where I really got my start. Learned about agriculture, learned about leadership. And at the time, it became a passion for me. Little did I know how much of a foundation it was also building for things I'm even doing today. So I'm so appreciative of FFA. Still try and give back as much as I can.
Love to hear about Marshfield FFA and one of those local boys. Tell me a little bit about your journey to get from FFA, moving on through to doing what you do today.
You bet. So in FFA, it started off with, I threw my hand up anytime there's an opportunity. So I was in soil judging, parliamentary procedure, showed animals at the fair, just did everything. And that was such a great learning opportunity to build a broad foundation of learning about agriculture. Then I went on to school at University of Wisconsin at Madison, studied engineering, and interned while I was there with John Deere. And did all 5 different sessions with them, learned all sorts of different things. And I said, hey, this is it. This is what I want to do. And so joined them, worked there for 20 years, did all sorts of different roles all throughout the company, even lived in Germany for 3.5 years. Then came back to the U.S. and transitioned over to AgCo about 11 years ago. Started with their precision ag business and the combine program. Grew through the company, had a little expansion of opportunity, and then became CEO in January of 2021. I'm in my favorite job in the world, feel so lucky every day.
And you're having the opportunity to do some keynote speeches. Does that entail telling your ag story to give some encouragement to people
maybe a little bit about my journey, but more about what's going on in the industry. So many people don't realize how much technology is involved in agriculture today, how many really exciting problems there are, what a purpose-driven business it is. And so I try and spread that story about solving the real tough farmer problems, making them more profitable, making them more sustainable, and all that we've got going to meet those ends and make farmers more not only profitable, make their job easier. It's a very challenging business. And so people get excited when we share all that with them.
We're talking to Eric Hansotia. He is the chairman, president, and CEO of AGCO Corporation. So what's going on at AGCO? A lot of new technology coming out.
Our big focus is automating features. So putting sensors on the machine so that they can understand the variation in the soil or the crop, and then have the machine calculate for itself how to optimize its performance, change the different settings so it can do a perfect job everywhere in the field. It can do a better job than the farmer can do. So not only does it make the farmer more profitable, but it takes the task of the job and makes it less stressful. So that's most of our engagement. As we do more and more of those, we can make the whole machine actually autonomous. We're selling autonomy kits today, even off on our machines and on mixed fleet, or essentially other brands of equipment, to turn a regular tractor into an autonomous tractor so that you can use it when you're harvesting grain, pulling the grain cart. You can have somebody in the combine, nobody in the tractor with it pulling the grain cart next to the combine. So that's the first application. Tillage is next. So that's how these two flow together. The other element is sustainability. We've got a battery electric tractor, lots of different other projects underway to have less emissions on our vehicles. Bottom line is lots of innovation, lots of projects to try and make the farmer more productive. We aim to be the most farmer-focused company in the industry, and we try and do that a little bit better every day.
And now with all this new technology and all these new things coming out, there's always that learning curve, whether it's the learning curve with the repairs or learning curve with the farmer. Yeah, which one do you want to touch on first?
Well, our job is to try and make these solutions as easy as possible. So the complexity, let's just talk about your car. What your car has a complicated system in it to figure out adaptive cruise control. Essentially, that's when you're coming up on a car in front of you, the car senses that and slows down. Well, that's a complicated electronic system. But to the user, it feels very simple. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to adjust anything. That's how we want these features to feel for the farmer, that they just work. It makes sense. The user interface is clear. So that's our mission, is to not only solve the problem, but do so in a way that's very low impact and makes it simpler for the farmer to do their job, not more difficult.
And the open-mindedness of the farmers when it comes to these technologies, are they embracing it, or are they having a little bit of struggle with it?
Well, I mean, farmers are under a lot of pressure right now, probably more now than they have in a long time. And so they're looking for ways to somehow get more yield or reduce their costs or make their job simpler. And that's where these projects come into play. So people don't want to necessarily run out and buy technology. What they want to run out in is to solve a problem, to have something be easier, something to work better. And so that's the way we talk about it with these farmers, is to say, here's your issue. Here's how we can solve that issue, and here's the transition we would like to make with you. So it's not so much talking about the gizmo, it's what the gizmo does.
And looking ahead, what are we seeing on the horizon? Are we going to have maps of all fields all over everywhere and everything being able to talk to each other?
Well, a couple of things. One, I'd say the next decade in agriculture is going to be the most innovative decade in the history of the world. I'm convinced of that. Our whole team is geared up for that. So a lot of innovation happening. But farming is a little bit like, the picture I paint is a little bit like the Boston Marathon. You have some runners that are really fast and they're off in the front, and you got slow runners like me who are towards the back. Farmers are all in a different place on where they want to farm and how they want to use different tools. So what we try and do is meet the farmer where they are and help them take the next step forward. So for one farmer, that means one thing. For another farmer, it means an entirely different. And we just try and meet them where they are and help them move forward.
And now, we've been talking about all these new ideas, new technologies, but you guys are really out there servicing those farmers. You talked about meeting them where they're at. You're doing some journeys out there and meeting them all in the field, aren't you?
Exactly. So we've got a new approach called Farmer Core. And essentially, it's an innovative way to think about distribution. And, for the last 100 years, farmers have had to go to the dealership, essentially a brick-and-mortar model. It's kind of like going to the mall to get everything that they need. They need to research the machine, buy the machine, get their parts, get their service, get their financing, all of it. And so we're seeing lots of other industries instead serve the customer at their place of business. Instead of the farmer going to the business comes to the farmer. So we said, let's do that here in farming, and let's be the one who leads that. So Farmer Core is a way to do all of the business on the farm. So we created all these digital tools where the farmer can engage with the company, research their machine, configure it online, buy their parts, get their financing, all those things. Then in terms of their machine, instead of having to bring it into the service bay at this dealership, we work with the dealers to buy really nice service trucks. And then they can remotely monitor the machines, understand when there's either maintenance or repair, and do all that work on the farm. And then once they're on the farm, once the dealer's on the farm, they've solved the issue that they went there for. They can also talk to the farmer and say, what else do you have going on here? How about we get your whole farm fixed up? And about 85% of the issues they have, even on machines of other brands, our team can fix. So it's a revolutionary different model. It's one that farmers love that have experienced it so far, and we think it's going to grow like wildfire over the next few years.
And what about getting the technicians? Are they readily available when it comes to getting out there and servicing those machines?
Well, most farmers would tell you the biggest issue they've got is getting experienced labor. Same thing for a dealer. Their biggest challenge is getting experienced technicians. We find that this model is one that's much more interesting for many technicians because they can essentially be almost like a mini business owner. They get a route, they can work right out of their home, then they can make their route through the farms in their area. Instead of coming to a job and working kind of like a 9-to-5 type feel, they're out working right with their neighbors and farmers in a much more entrepreneurial nature. So we find that there's a certain type of person that really draws to this model, and we're excited that could help us grow faster.
How fast have you grown so far? AGCO is not something that I've seen a lot of in my area, but with that model, what are the goals for it?
So AGCO is a very global company, but only about 25% of our sales are in North America. 75% are outside North America. Our biggest market is Europe. We aim to grow strongly in North America now. Our two primary brands are Fendt and Massey Ferguson, with Fendt being a pretty new brand in the North American market. It's for the most demanding farmer that demands the best of the best. This Farmer Core model we think will help us grow. We have one dealership that the company actually owns, and we've been piloting Farmer Core at that dealership. Even in this last 2024 year of a downturn in the market, like the whole company, our company and our industry dropped by about 25% this last year. So in a down market that dropped 25%, that dealer grew 30%. So it shows that when you get good at that model and you can have the customers experience it, you can experience significant growth. And that's what we aim to target as we spread this out through other dealers in the country.
Well, I think it sounds like a fascinating idea and thinking outside the box. Always good to hear about some of those new innovations. And that was Eric Hansotia. He is the chairman, president, and CEO of AGCO Corporation. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all.
Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Update. You know, 2,400 of anything to move, Stu, is quite a little feat, especially when you've got changing weather conditions like Wisconsin can throw your way.
Oh, that all sounds pretty cheesy to me, Pam. I wonder if we can sample. Well, never mind. Weather, yes, it could change. It has been changing. A little weak system passed through is still providing a little light snow in far northern Wisconsin. It was a bit of a mix last evening. Some rain in parts of Minnesota mixed with then changed to snow. That all ends, and through the day today, we all should have a little more sunshine around. That all sounds well and good. The temperatures are going to be a lot more mild than they've been here lately. Far above normal. You know, we should talk about mid-30s in southern Wisconsin, very low 30s in the north. Today, I expect we all see 40s. We could do that again Wednesday. But there'll be a couple of small systems, one zipping in from the west that may account for a little rain in southern Wisconsin tonight, probably sundown or later. Not going to amount to much. Some sprinkles, if you will. Not going to be any kind of snow buildup anywhere. But that little chance this evening, then a little bit of a more organized system tries to edge in, and the whole state starts to talk about a little rain and snow north. That would be Tuesday night, lasting into the day Wednesday. Before it's all said and done Wednesday, even in the north, it'll just be some rain. So it's going to work on the snow cover. It's going to start thinning some of the ice on area lakes, especially in the south. We're starting to get that little spring feel around here. Those temperatures, like I say, stay quite mild, up in the 40s for most of us right through Wednesday and Thursday, cooling a little bit then as we head on toward the weekend. Nothing drastic, though, no major cold snap, although I have seen an extended forecast here that tells me into early March for the 1st through the 7th. We could overall stay near or just below normal for temperatures through those 7 days and below normal precipitation-wise, so we stay a little dry around that time as well. Not going to build up a lot of moisture across those fields, even as we make our way on toward the month of March. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a Heads Up seed treatment.
Keeping Wisconsin strong. All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, the Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update, including that little bit of light snow in the north this morning and clouds. Partly sunny further south throughout the day will clear it out. We'll be in the upper 40s in the south, low 40s north, west and northwest winds about 5 to 10. There's that slight chance of rain in the south this evening. Mostly cloudy skies almost everywhere. Mid-20s north, very low 30s in the south. The west winds about 5. Back to mostly sunny Tuesday, not a bad day. Even some very low to mid-40s, maybe a 48 in far southern Wisconsin, with the northwest winds becoming south in the afternoon about 5. Tuesday night, that chance of a little rain. Rain or snow in the north, cloudy skies and mostly cloudy into Wednesday. Rain in the south, rain, snow early in the north, becoming all little light rain. Less than a tenth of an inch, not a big soaker by any means, and I expect we're talking about highs on Wednesday that will still be in the lower mid-40s north and upper 40s in the south, and the winds out of the south become north north, about 5 to 10. We do dry it out pretty nicely. I wouldn't be surprised toward Friday, Pam, if we need a highlight. In southern Wisconsin, we may have a 50 on Friday. That's the last day of February, and that very mild air could very well be showing up at that time. So, remember that cold weather we had just a week ago? It's all different this week.
All right, appreciate it, Stu. And remember, whatever weather you're experiencing on a Monday morning, we'd love to hear from you. Our talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Your Ag Weather Monday brought to you courtesy of Compere Financial. Compere Financial is your financial partner, whether it's agriculture or that rural lifestyle that you'd like. They can provide you with resources as well as educational training. Just jump online at Compere.com. Like I said, we're talking about the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event happening in Green Bay, open to the public, and fascinating logistics all on the way for a Monday.
This, you're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. An avalanche advisory is in effect in parts of Colorado and avalanche warnings from Montana to Washington State. Pope Francis still battling pneumonia at a Rome hospital and what the Vatican calls mild kidney complications that are being treated. At the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi, Julio Jimenez says that he had traveled with a group of pilgrims to Assisi.
There's over 20 of us, so every morning we are praying for Pope Francis's health. To be restored.
Monday marks 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. President Trump pressuring Ukraine to sign a deal to give half of its mineral mining, oil and gas profits to the U.S., but in return, it gets no security guarantees. Germany's far-right party has made a surprisingly strong second-place showing in the German elections. Germany's conservative party has come out on top. It is pro-NATO and pro-Ukraine and opposed to President Trump's overtures to Russia. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Trust fund kid Elon Musk has drawn a lot of political criticism lately, but now he's under fire for being a bad parent from his own father. Errol Musk appeared on the Wide Awake podcast and said that his son will probably shoot him for saying this, but Elon is not a good father. This comes after rumors that Musk had fathered a 13th child, somehow with 16 women. Should probably fact check that. It's important to note that just a couple years ago, Errol Musk admitted to having a second child with his stepdaughter, who was only 4 years old when he married the child's mother, according to Rolling Stone. Errol and the girl's mom have two children of their own, as Musk apparently wanted his future baby mama to have playmates. For the record, Rolling Stone also reported that Elon Musk is not a fan of his father. He called him a terrible human being who has done every evil thing or crime you could possibly imagine, which is probably why they decided not to have kids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers hope to bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers had a five-game winning streak snapped when they lost to Oregon 77-73 in overtime over the weekend. Next, they host the Washington Huskies, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. How do they regroup? Head coach Greg Gard.
Well, you got to turn the page. I mean, we would come back, prep for Washington, rebound and bounce back. And fortunately, this isn't like football where you have to sit 7 days, wait for your next game. We're going to play again on Tuesday night, improve the areas that we need to improve.
NBA, the Bucks won at home 120-113 over the Miami Heat. They head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow night. Baseball, Brewers losing 6-1 to the Rockies in Cactus League action. Pat Murphy on what he wants to see this spring training.
I love seeing young players hungry and want to play in the big leagues and never have. I told two or three of them today, have you ever played in the big leagues? They said no. I said, well, you're going to play in the big leagues this year. So call your mom and dad and let them know you're going to play in the big leagues this year.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs near 50 degrees. Cloudy tonight, 30. Mostly sunny and highs in the mid-40s on Tuesday. Tuesday night, we'll see some rain with lows around 33. For Wednesday, chance of rain, then mostly cloudy and a high near 45.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys of my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
A message from the CDC.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Oh, it's really just Gutekunst and a handful of scouts.
High school junior in your family that might be trying to figure out what kind of careers they'd like to pursue. Well, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection wants to make sure they understand all the options that are out there. Stephanie Hoff's going to join us in just a moment with more details on this year's Wisconsin Agricultural Youth Council. Welcome back. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. On a Monday, this is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 24th day of February. What can I tell you? Well, I'm probably showing my age. On this day back in 1972, Priscilla and Elvis Presley separate. The icon, obviously somebody that the world followed since he became notable for rock and roll. And the two split on this day back in 1972. Happy birthday today, Edward James Olmos, 77 years young. And we also have to say happy birthday to news person Paula Zahn. She is celebrating as well. She's an Omaha, Nebraska native. And now you know, as I said, if you've got a high school junior in the house, you might want to pay attention to this story that Stephanie Hoff brings us on a Monday.
If you have, know, or are a high school junior, there's an opportunity knocking. Juniors can apply for the next Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. You have until March 31st to put your hat in the ring. The goal of the Agriculture Youth Council is to help introduce and prepare you for one of the many careers in Wisconsin agriculture. Secretary Randy Romanski from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has the details.
Wisconsin Ag Youth Council is something the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection does to engage with youth in Wisconsin. Each year, 15 high school seniors spend one day a month with us, and we find ways to connect them to their career pathways and have them get to know a little bit about what DACAP does, but we also do career days too. So they get to meet people in the industry and learn more about this wonderful thing called agriculture in Wisconsin.
That seems like a big ask of a high school senior to spend a day a month with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, but they're getting a lot out of it.
We have great connection with what we now call our alumni, people who have done this in previous years, and they say it's been a great experience. They've learned a lot. It's helped them focus on what their career might be. The people that we're working with are obviously very busy, but they're also very driven, and they're really focused on what's important to them, and they're engaged in they're very engaged in what that future looks like. So, you know, we get as much out of it as they do, I think, because we get to learn what they need, what interests them, what part of the world of agriculture is there going to be their focus. And so we get to help kind of craft how we as a state agency can help them with that.
Yeah, a little bit of an ulterior motive to see into the window of the next generation of workforce.
As you know, we are always hiring, and I'm always recruiting. 1 in 10 people in the state of Wisconsin works in a job related to agriculture, and it's important that whoever it is that we come in contact, whether it's FFA Day at the Capitol, where we're talking to a couple hundred students and future workforce members, or whether we're talking to the 15 members of the Ag Youth Council, I think we all want the same thing. We want to make sure people understand that they can have a connection to whatever part of the industry they'd like, and that, you know, we as policymakers should want them to engage with us. We need to listen to what they have interest in as well.
So who should think about applying? Applications are open now, but what type of student would be interested in the Ag Youth Council?
So it's for incoming high school seniors, so people who are juniors now and going to be seniors next year, because we're recruiting for next year. And we've had a wide variety of backgrounds of people who have been on the council in past years. Some people who grew up on farms, some people who were connected in an ancillary way to a farm, and some people who did not grow up on farms. And again, the focus there is that there are all these different ways to access agriculture as a career pathway. A career pathway in agriculture could be in a laboratory. It could be using remote technology. It could be somebody who's working on conservation programs, and in addition to all the other things that agriculture, food production, and farming brings along with it. So it's really important that we have people from everywhere, every background, every part of the state, having interest and access to this great industry.
When their time with the Ag Youth Council is up, what do they complete it with? Do they get a certificate? Is it a great resume builder? Do they have a new sense of who they are and what they want to do? What have you seen?
From what we're hearing from the past members, yeah, they do have a new sense of what their options are. That's the really key thing. I mean, maybe they hadn't thought about being a hydrogeologist, but that might interest them. We have them in the agency as a way of background, but they may want to be a veterinarian. It opens their eyes to other career pathways. I think they experience the ability to connect with others, connect with the industry, connect with others from the state who are also on the council. It's yet another way to build a layer of connecting the dots, is what we like to say about it. And what we're hearing from council members is that it has helped them kind of focus where they might want to go.
DADCAP Secretary Randy Romanski taking some time to remind us the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council applications are due March 31st. High school juniors can apply today. Just visit the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection online. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Excellent opportunity. Thanks, Stephanie. And remember, if you miss any of the details on how to apply for that Wisconsin Ag Youth Council position, we've got it up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. And of course, you'll always be able to listen to the podcast as well at the same address. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to 180. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged, 190, while AA butter dropped 0.75 cents to 241 and a half per pound. Now, as we get rolling on a Monday, coming up next, we are focused in on the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event. It is a monster as far as logistics are concerned. We're going to catch up with Kirsten Strominger. She is kind of the chaos coordinator for the U.S. Championship Cheese events, March 4th through the 6th, up at the Rush Expo Center in Green Bay. Believe it or not, already more than 2,414 entries are currently being protected in a climate-controlled warehouse in Little Chute, Wisconsin. But you've got to get more than 117 loaded pallets of those dairy goods from Little Chute up to Green Bay and then keep them in good condition so the judges can have a fair access to them March 4th through the 6th. How are you going to do it? Well, that's what we're going to talk with Kirsten about. That's on your way next on a Monday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshauer joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Public, you'll have an opportunity to, free of charge, go into the event, take a look at the displays, watch the judges do their thing, and even get some samples. So keep that in mind if you'd never experienced an event like this before, because I'll tell you what, it is something. Joining us this morning, Kirsten Strominger. She is kind of the contest logistics coordinator on behalf of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association that is going to be making multiple trips up to Green Bay to try to make sure this rascal is ready to go. Kirsten, thanks for updating us on what's going on as far as the logistics side of executing a U.S. Championship cheese event. Let's start off right away by what impresses you about the volume of goods, the interest, or is it the culture of the event?
You know, what really strikes me as the most interesting is it's a competition, but it is friendly and encouraging competition. You have cheddar manufacturers across the country that are competing against each other, but at the same time, it's a point of pride, and they also, you know, cheer each other on in the same sense. It's great friendly competition that really shows the good heart in the cheese industry.
Well, and I mentioned to Kirsten off air that I had some folks that wanted to be involved as volunteers this year. There's a certain status to being involved, even as a volunteer with this event, isn't there?
You know, we are really fortunate to have an incredible core team of volunteers that people are ready throughout the year. They're commenting about how they want to make sure they're going to volunteer. And these shifts, they fill up. I think in one day, most of our volunteer shifts filled up when we sent out the call to our previous volunteers and anyone interested.
That's wonderful. I love that part about not just Wisconsin, but the dairy industry as a whole. So take me behind the scenes, Kirsten. Give me a sense of when things really start to click up as far as activity, getting ready for this kind of a technical evaluation.
Yeah, so we had our entry deadline at the end of January, and so things really start to become real and intense then. But this week is a highlight for us because this is when most of our cheese entries have arrived already in Little Chute at the Wout Logistics Warehouse. So they have right now nearly 2,000 entries that they are working on sorting and checking in for the contest, making sure everything is in the right place, getting ready for the judging.
Right. So that that logistics side, a big part of moving all that product from one place to another. Let's talk about the advanced information that was shared. You've got to coordinate quite a panel of judges, too, when it comes to this kind of event. Give me some more details on the technical side of what we don't see connected with the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest.
Yeah, so we have 38 judges from across the country that are, they range in jobs of, they might be a cheese grader where they're evaluating cheese every day, all day in their job. They might be a cheese buyer for a grocery store and they are evaluating cheese that they're selling in their stores. Or we have dairy researchers that work at universities across the country that are well-versed in the cheese make, and that really goes into the technical judging aspect of the contest. And so we have really dairy experts in all of the aspects of the field that come together to have a great judging panel.
Now, we mentioned that there's over 2,000 entries for the 2025 event. That really doesn't speak to the scope of volume, the sheer weight of what has to be moved around. Give me a little sense on that, Kirsten.
So we have cheeses in all shapes and sizes, and even right now we have a cheese that is 125 pounds that we have sitting on a pallet. But we have 117 pallets filled with cheeses from across the nation, and so it is it's an incredible sight to see so many pallets filled with cheese that are strictly for this competition.
Now, this event is going to be at the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay. Tell me a little bit about how you vet facilities that might either want or be considered for this kind of an event.
Sure. So some unique things that you may not think of that we need is we need a facility that has one really good lighting. The judges need great lighting to be able to see the cheese well and give proper evaluations. And not only that, but we need a facility that has at least three loading docks that we can use, because we store all of these cheese entries on refrigerated trailers that we have that are on the docks all week. So different aspects of an event that you just might not think of, that we need good access to loading docks because of the semis that we have there.
Now, we mentioned about the volume of cheese and dairy products in general that are going to be moving around. Let's talk a little bit about what happens during the event and after the event. There's a lot of logistical issues that have to be overcome when it comes to just moving, cutting. Tell people how the cheese is presented for the most part to the judges.
So that's what our volunteers ends up doing mostly at contest, is they are taking those cheeses that are all in the pallets and they are unboxing, presenting them to the judges. The judges will evaluate them and then bring them back behind the curtain, behind the scenes, and box them back up. And then they go on display at our conference in April, or we do donate a lot of the cheese as well. So the cheese has a home afterwards.
Any particular partner that's going to be handling some of that cheese post-competition we should know about, Kirsten?
Yeah, so we donate a lot of cheese to Paul's Pantry in Green Bay. They'll be taking a lot of cheese, and some of their patrons will be getting that benefit.
That is excellent. Again, Kirsten Storminger along with us. She is the contest director for the upcoming U.S. Championship Cheese event that's going to be at the Resch Expo Center. Give me a little bit of a sense on feedback that you get, Kirsten, from either judges, participants, volunteers, or maybe the folks that come through from the general public.
Sure. One of my favorite notes or things to hear is that cheesemakers and dairy manufacturers are entering this contest because they want the feedback from these expert judges. And it, of course, people want to enter a competition to win, and there's a marketing component to that. And that's, of course, a draw of entering. But I love hearing the internal pride and their learning and experience from that score sheet and that evaluation and what they can do with that internally, that creates so much more value and incentive to enter, even if you don't come away with a first, second, or third place win.
And from the general public's perspective, I've got to believe there's a lot of surprise when they take a look at all the different types of cheese that are evaluated in the course of the competition.
Absolutely. Even for me, it's fun to look through the list of cheeses and see what people are making across the country and seeing new trends or what's popular and being made right now or different flavors that are trending that I'm seeing. You know, there's some cheeses this year that I haven't seen as a flavor, but their Nashville hot has been a new trend that I'm seeing in a couple entries that people are experimenting with new flavors for their cheeses.
Now, you allude to the numbers. Maybe you can share some of that with us, Kirsten. What category has gained the largest number of entries this year? I know there were a few new categories. How did they do?
You know, so we introduced some sour cream and cultured dairy dips class, and we have 55 entries in those classes, and that's an exciting start to this new introduction. The contest has stayed strong with the highest entries being in the cheddar classes. Those are typically our most popular and most entered. And, again, this year they are our top classes.
And we were talking about representation. Obviously this is the United States. How many states participated in at least submitting one type of cheese this year, Kirsten?
We have 31 states. This year that are participating.
Wow. All right. Well, good luck, Kirsten, getting it all pulled together and executing the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest March 4th through the 6th at the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay, open to the public on March 4th and 5th from 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. You can watch the judges take in the sights and sample. If you can't make it up to Green Bay, they invite you to watch online, uschampioncheese.org.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt and Air on Air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree
with
whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
An ag economist makes a case for crop insurance today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics lists 417 fatal injuries in 2022 in the category of agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting. About three-fourths of those involve crop and animal production. Farming is one dangerous occupation. Food for thought. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. A University of Arkansas ag economist cautions farmers not to try to save a buck by skipping crop insurance this year. Here's Hunter Byram.
I've spoken with probably hundreds of producers in Arkansas about this, and we've had great dialogue and great conversations. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I just don't want to pay the premium or the premium's too expensive. I get it. I totally do. But almost by and large, it is always better to get some insurance versus no insurance.
Byram suggests crop insurance is a form of risk protection farmers cannot afford to leave to chance.
But think about it from the farmer's perspective, from the producer's perspective. They're trying to guarantee that they're going to have crops. So we're going to ensure we have crops. Now, you say, well, there's no way to ensure that you have crops. You are correct. But what we can ensure is the value of the crop.
Byram likens crop insurance to any other crop input.
I think we should think about an insurance premium almost as a cost of production. Why? Because when you pay that premium, you're already guaranteeing that value. You're already guaranteeing that yield, essentially. maybe you're risk neutral and you're very indifferent. You're like, ah, all right, put the crop in the ground. We'll see what happens. But no, like most farmers are going to be risk averse.
Mid-March is the deadline to secure crop insurance for spring planted crops in most parts of the country. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow will not be around Monday morning. Luke Mathers will handle a Civic Media Mornings review of weekend headlines as he and Greg hold down the fort.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Pope Francis still battling pneumonia at a Rome hospital in critical condition, but the Vatican says he is no longer in an acute respiratory crisis and that he's being treated for a mild kidney complication common in pneumonia cases. At the Basilica of St. Francis in Assisi, pilgrims who traveled from Chicago have been praying for him. Monday marks 3 years since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Trump pressuring Ukraine to sign a deal to give half of its mineral mining, oil and gas profits to the U.S., but in return it gets no security guarantees. Ukrainian President Zelensky says for every dollar the U.S. has provided, Mr. Trump wants $2 back, a 100% profit. Though Germany's far-right party has made a surprisingly strong second-place showing in the parliamentary elections, the Conservative Party has come out on top. It is pro-NATO and pro-Ukraine. This is ABC News. The sister-in-law of Israeli